You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Going on, Stick to Your Guns coming to town here September 3rd to Seattle with Kubla Khan and Koyo and Foreign Hands, and you guys are good. Belmont, and right now I'm chatting with Jesse from Stick to Your Guns. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. You know, I got back from Europe maybe a little over a week ago, but it feels like I just landed yesterday because I haven't been on tour in so long, so now jet lag messes with me in a way that it hasn't for a while. So
dude, this must, like, the last couple years or whatever probably was the longest you were at home for like a decade plus, right?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, the most I had at home in the last, I mean, before the pandemic, like, officially started here, or at least quarantine, I should say. The most time I've had off is maybe 3 months, maybe, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. So 3 years, that was definitely a learning curve on how to, like, try to be in or a person who just knows how to, like, live.
Well, let's jump into it. Like, how did you cope, man? What did you do to, like, stay sane, or did you not stay sane?
Well, I was actually, so I had a Stick to Your Guns tour, and then I was in the middle, that Stick to Your Guns tour that I had just gotten off of, then I went straight into I have a project called Wish You Were Here, so I went straight into tour with that, and I was actually in the middle, I was in Chicago on the day that America was like, yo, quarantine now.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert from the NBA, like, tested positive, Tom Hanks got COVID, and
we're right, like, oh, no. Right, once Tom Hanks got it, we were like, oh, serious.
And then we were like, all right, just stay in place for 2 weeks and we're good. We'll be fine.
Yeah. Right? 3 years later or whatever. Yep. But yeah, I mean, I was in Chicago and I had just done, Audio Tree session. Oh. And I was playing a show actually. And the promoter's like, look, they just called this and it's like 30 minutes before doors. So let's just do it. Let's just have the people are here. So let's just have the show. But it was funny because about half of the people who bought tickets just didn't show up because of the thing. You know what I mean? Everybody was pretty scared or whatever. So anyways, I was in the middle of a tour and I was already completely exhausted. And so the fact that it was like, oh, your tour is canceled and you just get to go home, I was like through the roof. I was so excited.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I have a tendency to spread myself too thin. So yeah, I went home, and then for the first couple, I'll admit it was months. I just spent chilling, like doing absolutely nothing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And in a way where I was like, okay, this has been too much now. I did what everybody did. I started running, and running's not really my thing. I prefer to ride my bike or whatever, but running and all that kind of just picking up hobbies and stuff. And then, I opened up a bookstore kind of towards the end of, not the end, but when they started opening things up, you know, I opened a bookstore. So.
Shout out to your bookstore. Let's shout it out. Where's your bookstore?
It's in Los Angeles. It's called All Power Books. And it's actually more of a politically left-leaning bookstore. And we're more of a community space. We do produce drives every week for folks in the neighborhood. We started a free medical clinic that's actually open today. I'm actually in the back of the bookstore right now. But we're kind of just a space that provides people with resources, and you know, it's a low-income neighborhood that we're living in. So a lot of people need help with their, like, you know, housing voucher paperwork and all these other kinds of things. And, you know, we drive people to the DMV to get new licenses and stuff like that. And yeah, it's completely volunteer ran. And yeah, it's been a cool project that's been growing and growing and growing. And we have like a, we started with just like five people and now we're officially six people now, but now we have like a whole volunteer pool of like 20 plus people who help us with just about anything we need. So it's been a cool thing, you know.
Some musicians, you know, when they get a little bit of wealth or some recognition, they'll buy up a bunch of property, become landlords. Jesse from Stick to Your Guns starts an anarchist bookshop.
Right. No, I mean, we're not anarchists. We are socialists, but we work with a lot of anarchists and stuff as well. But yeah, I mean, you know, we hold tenant meetings to piss landlords off even further. So
there you go. Nice. Okay. Well, I'm assuming that sometime during the pandemic you worked on this record. I mean, Spectre is coming out. By the time you hear this, it may be out already, but July 29th on Pure Noise Records, Spectre is out. New Stick to Your Guns record. Was this something that you guys, how difficult of the process of making the record was it during the pandemic, or did it affect it at all?
Here's what's interesting is we actually finished the record December 2019.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so the record was actually supposed to come out in 2020.
Okay.
And, you know, this whole thing happened.
Sure.
And so we've kind of been sitting on it. And what's so funny is like, you know, we just dropped a new song today, whatever, today, the 20th or whatever. That song, Open Up My Head, we just dropped it today. And like, I'm so bored of it. Like, I'm not even excited that it's out. Normally,
that's
so excited, but it's like, I've been, you know, I've listened to it to death probably 50,000 different times. Yeah. You know what I mean? So now I'm just like, oh yeah, this is old now.
Well, okay. So you have a bunch of time to sit on this record. And was that difficult to, like, you know, keep yourself from, like, you know, tweaking it a bunch or like overanalyzing it? Did you ever get tempted to go back and like, all right, let's totally redo this?
What's interesting, honestly, is like, the band that Stick to Your Guns is on record versus the band that Stick to Your Guns is live has always been two different bands. And I've heard that from both people who enjoy Stick to Your Guns, and I've heard it from people who don't really necessarily enjoy Stick to Your Guns, right? Like, I have a lot of friends who, like, Stick to Your Guns is not their thing, but when they see us live, they're like, God, like, if you could capture that in your recordings, okay, like, then that would be sick. And so it's like, it's always kind of been a weird thing for me because I don't know where the disconnect is necessarily, you know what I mean? But I genuinely feel like on this new record, like, that was the thing that we've been better able to inject into our recorded music, was that maybe, I guess, it was an energy that was lacking before in certain ways. But either way, Drew, who did the record, goes by Wizard Blood, but he did the record for us, and he did something, and I feel like he just was able to kind of catch the essence of what Stick to Your Guns kind of is as a live band in our recording. And so it's honestly awesome. Like, to me, I always tell people where it's like, if you don't like this record, then you're for sure just not a Stick to Your Guns fan, because this is, at least for me personally, this is the best that I can do.
Nice. There's some bands like that, and I'm not saying Stick to Your Guns is, but there's some bands that were like, you know, like, incredible live band, but then, like, you know, you listen to it on an album and you're just like, man, it just didn't, that ain't it, Chief. But, you know,
you might disagree with me on this, and so I apologize if this sounds like blasphemy to you, but I'm like that with a lot of metal bands. Like, because we'll play a lot of European festivals, and there'll be some metal band on there that, of course, I've never heard of, that's like a giant, you know, like, thrash metal band or doom metal band from some, you know, from, like, you know, Copenhagen or something that I don't know, you know what I mean? And I watch them live, and I have like a legitimate, like, experience where I'm just like, holy shit, this is incredible. But then I go and listen to a lot of these bands' recordings, and they just don't sound good. You know what I mean? That's why, like, I'm kind of a poser when it comes to metal. Like, Behemoth. Sure. Behemoth is like, that's a band that I listen to or go to where I'm just like, this to me is like the epitome of, like, because they also put on, I've seen them a couple times live, and they're insane. And then I listen to their record, and they're always just so crazy sounding in a good way.
Yeah.
But I feel like for metal, there's a lot of metal that I've like, maybe I don't appreciate it in the way that
sometimes, you know, I mean? It's a little polished. I mean, I come from the world of, like, hardcore, you know, that's originally what I grew up going to. And so, you know, a lot of the metal bands, you know, I'll love live. And then you listen to the album and it's maybe a little too polished or sure. something like that. And you're just like, come on, give me something a little bit more grit, you know?
Right. Right. I mean, that my metal, when I tell my metal friends where I'm like, they're like, oh, let's listen to, like, if we work together and like someone's like, throw something metal on, I throw Behemoth on, they're all like, boo. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, that's
too, poser.
Yeah, exactly. That's too polished for them. Where to me, it sounds so brutal and insane. Yeah. But for sure, I really have a lot of respect for the dudes who like are like gatekeepy metal dudes. They're some of my favorite people.
With the jackets with like every single patch, dude, like exactly. You can't read any of them. So exactly. Last time you guys were in Seattle was an interesting situation. Pennywise played a show down in Tacoma for Real Art. Rise Against, mm-hmm. unfortunately, they all got COVID or something happened. Was a few members got COVID or something. And Six Year Guns, you guys played a show at the Funhouse, which is a small room in El Corazon. Tell me a little bit about, like, you know, doing a last minute show and how that turned out for you guys.
I mean, it sold out really quick, and it's just like Seattle. We kind of, I mean, I don't want to say we expect that of Seattle as if it's like some shit that I take for granted, but it's just like Seattle's always treated us so well mm-hmm. that we were kind of just like, we're a pretty, like, it sucks. And I'll just straight up admit it. Like, we can at times be a very insecure band in our sure. abilities, you know what I mean? To like be able to, you know what's best for a show, you know what I mean? Cause we're so concerned with wanting to make sure that people come out and see, we're not playing to empty rooms or whatever. But Seattle's a place where we don't ever really have that concern. And that's great. It's like a relief. You know what I mean? Like, we just know, like, Seattle comes through. And so, you know, especially coming out of the pandemic, or not coming out of it, but I guess it opening up and us going on tour.
Sure.
You're even more insecure because you're like, we haven't done this in so long. Like, mm-hmm. do people even know about our band anymore? You know what I mean? Especially for, we've been a band for so long. You know what I mean? It's like, we're getting up there to being like, there's like, oh yeah, they're one of the older
bands, elder statesmen.
Exactly. But you know, we did it because we had faith in Seattle, and they, you know, they pulled through, and the show was fucking awesome.
That's yeah. right.
Yeah.
So coming from the world you know, Orange County hardcore metalcore, I gotta get this down. I gotta have a clickbait title for this interview. I'm just kidding. No, but so we all know the quote unquote big four of American thrash, right? So we got Slayer, Anthrax, Metallica, Megadeth. In your opinion, what's the big four of Orange County hardcore and metalcore?
Oh, Jesus. So I There's two different answers, but I'm just going to give one. But I'm going to explain okay. the two different answers. There's the two different answers of like Orange County in and of itself, and then there's the answer of what were mine. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Yeah.
Because a lot of the ones that were like the older bands, like the Dan O'Mahony bands, or like sure. you know, even like Inside Out, which obviously I think has a lot of
Chain of Strength, or is that right. more Inland Empire? I don't know.
You know, it's interesting because I've heard so many different things. A lot of people, I think they were Orange County until when Inside Out was around. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Doing their thing. That's when, like, you know, being Orange County was like, that was fine. You know what yeah. I mean? And then once it started getting into my generation, where like the sonically, the like Orange County hardcore is becoming bastardized with like a bunch of little metal kids and new metal sure. kids, and so it turned into the brand of Orange County hardcore that I grew up on.
Yeah, Throwdown, Adamantium, exactly. freaking
100%. You know what I mean? These are you know, new metal and metal kids who are like, oh, I love hardcore. Is this hardcore? And then, you know, of course, other people are like, oh my god, that is not hardcore. That's just new metal. But either way, so I think the big four for like my generation of people who like grew up on like all the Indecision bands would have been Adamantium, Throwdown, Bleeding Through, and 18 Visions. I mean,
yes.
those were the big four, especially because they all shared members. Mm-hmm. I was more like, those are the big four of like the consensus amongst the, you know, the circles that I ran in. I always threw Death by Stereo in there because sure. that was one of the coolest bands I had ever heard. That was a band who was truly mixing up all of the genres. They were like a straight up metal band because they could riff insane. Mm-hmm. Who was drumming for them? Was it Jason Alexander, maybe? At least on the records. The drumming was crazy. It wasn't like punk drumming. It was like, you know what I mean? It was just like, so it was metal really drumming, technical, yeah. but yeah. yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it was like metal riffs, metal guitar, and then Ephraim singing like a crazy punk, like a psycho punk. And then, you know, it was just so sick. Like, I had never heard anything like it. So that was a huge one for me as well. But, you know, I'm sure that the, you know, the answer of just Orange County in and of itself is probably, you know, Inside Out. I mean, Chain of Strength, depending
Ignite, on Ignite, they're still going strong.
No, they are. I mean, they have a new singer now, and I met the kid, and he's like one of the coolest people I've ever met. And yeah. So yeah, for sure. But yeah, Ignite would definitely be another one that I would probably throw on my mine as well. But like Amendment 18.
Yeah.
What else is there?
So many good. Okay. So exactly. I don't need to, you know, we could keep going on and on and about all those bands because there's so many. Sure. I had a friend who kind of grew up in Orange County, and he worked at like a piercing shop. And he said that like in his high school, it was like, even like the popular kids were going to metalcore shows. It was just like a thing. Like it was just like everyone was out at these like Chain Reaction shows and stuff.
So that's when it really, like, that's when Stick to Your Guns really, that's when we slipped in there. We came in at such an opportune time. It was this time when like, it was weird because like the jocks, like we would show up to school and we would be like, yo, did you see the fucking football player kids? He's wearing a
hoodie.
Right. Or not even a Stick to Your Guns shirt, but like the show that we were just at the night before.
Okay.
It's like, how the fuck does he have that? And why does he have that?
Yeah.
And I feel like that moment where Stick to Your Guns kind of started slipping in to this boom.
Yeah.
Worked really well for us, but for a lot of my friends that I rolled with, it pushed them away. Mm. You know what I mean? Because they were just like, "Oh, this has just become corny now." Which I honestly like. I believe in a small amount of gatekeeping. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes you just need to do it because you don't want whack motherfuckers to come into your shit and like ruin your thing. You know what I mean? Like I can understand that, but yeah, we although I had a lot of friends who were moving away from hardcore because of that, you know, I was the whack motherfucker in there ruining their thing.
There you go, man. Well, this tour, you know, let's segue a little bit. This tour is certainly not whack motherfuckers. You guys are touring with, it seems like something you guys probably 100% curated this tour. It seems like, you know, some pretty legit bands, Kublai Khan, Foreign Hands, Koyo, like was this all like just bands that you wanted to tour with?
So, I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's also, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into touring, and it's like making sure that you get a bunch of bands that you want to be on tour with. But obviously everyone's schedules are always different. So even just getting bands' schedules to line up is like a nightmare. But also the band Belmont, I miss
them again. My bad.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I am fairly unfamiliar with the band, if I'm being completely honest, but we did know that because like a band like Stick to Your Guns, we have a lot of like singing and like that crossover kind of appeal. Like I do believe that Stick to Your Guns is one of the best gateway bands from metalcore or whatever into hardcore.
Yeah.
We're like the perfect band for that. And so it's like, we try to do that. We try to have a band on there that has a fan base of people who aren't necessarily metalcore kids or hardcore kids. And Belmont is that band. And so I'll probably obviously, you know, get more familiar with them being on tour with them. But, and then obviously Kublai Khan, heavy. Koyo, yes. I love. They're crushing it. Like they kind of have the same energy that Newfound Glory did when they first came out, where it's like, totally. This is a pop punk band kind of, but they look and kind of even sound like hardcore kids at moments. So it's like, you know what I mean? It was, they kind of give me that kind of same energy, which was super exciting.
They're hardcore kids playing pop punk, but not in like a cringy tryhard.
Yeah, way. Sure. They're actual hardcore kids. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like playing like,
good throwback, kind of like Silent Majority, Polar Bear Club, and pop.
I mean, they're Long Island kids, so I'm sure Silent Majority is like a number one influence.
oh yeah, absolutely. Kind of get up kidsy, so nice.
Yeah, man. For sure. So awesome.
So you know, before we go, you are very someone who is very, you know, outspoken with your beliefs and your thoughts and your opinions, and you have a leftist bookshop. You know, I'm curious. You know, if I were to ask you today, and I'm going to ask you, like, what's something that you think needs to be out there? You know, what's maybe a cause or something that you think people should know about now that, you know, I am giving you this platform?
Yeah, sure. It's not so much, I don't think there's necessarily specific causes. Like there's been so many amazing people who have started amazing like NGOs and like nonprofits and things like this over the last however long you know, decades and decades and decades. And I think something that is missing from a lot of these, people who are out there trying to do good is, not having an anti-capitalist lens. And I know that can sound naive when it's like, oh, but you wear shoes and drive a car and have gas. And, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, those are things and resources that people need to live every single day. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? Labor makes all things. Capital doesn't make anything. You can tell that because if you take $100 out and put it on your desk and say, hey, turn into a whatever, it's not going to. Capital doesn't create that. Labor creates all things. That's where the value is. And so I do think, in my personal opinion, that a lot of these people who are out there trying to bring up a lot of these important points and a lot of these injustices that we see is to have an anti-capitalist or a socialist lens on everything that we do. Because, you know, it's the same thing with like healthcare. You get a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm socialist. Like, I think that we should have free healthcare. It's like, we can't stop there. You know what I mean? It's like, or the same thing with like people, there's so much homelessness in Los Angeles, and we assist. I work with people every single day. That's why the bookshop is here to kind of offer relief to people like that. But it's the same thing where it's like, oh, we just need like socialized housing. It's like that. We can't do that as well, just that as well. It's like they need housing and healthcare and education. And like, I don't know if you know, but there's this thing called the Maslow's pyramid of needs. And basically it's this pyramid of needs that basically says that, you know, before a person can be, you know, self-actualize their own life and become independent, mm-hmm. A member of society, it's like there's basic things they need. First mm-hmm. are their physical, you know, their material needs, which are housing, healthcare, education, you know, all those things that we just named. Then there's the emotional needs. We all want to feel loved and supported and safe and all that. You know, and then there's another step, which I forget. And then the top step is self-actualization, a person, you know, achieving the things that they want. So anyway, sorry to ramble,
no,
but I think that's where I'm hoping. And that's, I am seeing a huge shift of that kind of mindset among a lot of young people who are like, yo, y'all f this place up, you know what I mean? And so, I'm hoping that this feeling of love that everyone is at least trying to feel towards one another and the planet, I hope we can sustain that. And in a way, I hope we can weaponize it, because that's what it's going to take. It's not going to, I hate to be a downer, but it's just like we can't vote ourselves out of this situation. There needs to be radical systemic change. And there's a lot of people who become very, very rich off of these systems and, you know, they're not going to just give it up. You know what I'm saying? So it's, you know, I hope that we can all be there for each other and in support of one another and kind of put our foot down and demand that all of the labor and everything that we build, look, when you go outside, look at everything we've built and we've done. Some of it is unnecessary, 100%, but it's only unnecessary because it makes people rich as fuck. So it's like, let's get rid of the unnecessary and let's build beautiful things and let's just try. Like, we could be sitting on a beach eating fruit, all of us. You know what I mean? Why are we overcomplicating it?
I want to sit on a beach and eat fruit.
Anyway, sorry. That's
no worries, man. Dude, thank you for chatting with me. And my last question for you, dude, is pick a scar on your body. Show us if you can, but at least tell us a story of how you got it.
Yeah, sure. Oh, I have this like scar on my hand. I don't know if you're gonna be able to see it. It's like okay. I burned the fuck out of myself. It was actually during I was holding a flare. Like, that's never been done before. We were even talking about it. It was for the music video of our song Against Them All. Okay. And I'm like holding the flare up and whatever. Yeah. We even talked about how corny it was before I even did it. And we're all like making fun of me that I'm doing it. But anyway, I'm holding it up and I'm wearing a hoodie. And then the director's like, all right, cut. And then I bring the flare down. I'm like, man, my hand is like hot. What the hell's going on? And underneath the hoodie, my hand was just like, I lifted my hand up and like skin melted off. Like, ugh. Like it was like plastic. It sucked. But yeah, so that happened.
Jesus. All for the video, bro. All for the
video. I know. Stupid. God.
But hey, you can check out the video now. Stick to Your Guns coming through with Kubla Khan. And let me get all of these bands. Okay. So Kubla Khan, Belmont, Koyo, Foreign Hands, September 3rd at El Corazon, your new album Spectre, probably out by the time you watch this. Any final words for Seattle or Northwest audience?
Seattle, I love you. Tacoma, I love you. Oh. You know, yeah, come out to the show. Let's hang. It's gonna be a good time.
Let's do some stage dives.
Absolutely.
D. Dude, Jesse, thank you so much, man. Have a good one.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.